Hi, I'm being disciplined by an evil gargoyle at a girls' reform school, and I'm Allison.
And I just got hit over the head with a frying pan. I'm Evan.
And we are Cheryl's bitches. Wow, you're usually the one to mess it up.
I know. I feel like I usually have a really long one, and you have like a short and sweet one, and we switched it up today.
We are here to discuss Chapter 42, The Man in Black. Cool. So this is a fun episode that's like in three parts. Like, I feel like it's fun when they do this.
It is, except so we'll get into it. But when they start the episode, there's like a little thing in the corner that pops up that's like Archie and Jughead, because it starts with Archie and Jughead section. But then that doesn't happen for any other section in the rest of the episode.
I didn't notice that. I noticed the Archie and Jughead one, but I didn't notice that the girls didn't have their own.
The girls
That's
didn't have their
interesting.
own. And it's like, what is this choice?
Huh. Yeah, so it starts with Jughead and Archie walking. They are running away from Riverdale, basically. Jughead is like in a phone booth trying to call Betty, who's not picking up. Wonder why. Archie's like, Jughead, you should go back, like, in case anything's wrong. And Jughead says that Betty is more capable than Archie, so Jughead needs to help Archie.
He says it in a very savage way too, which is funny to me. Anyways, then they stumble upon a farm, and Archie convinces Jughead to stop for the night, even though Jughead's like, we shouldn't do that. We should keep walking. Hiram would be anywhere. And as they're like walking up to the farm to introduce themselves or whatever, they get held at gunpoint by like a 12-year-old girl.
Like, wow, the cinematic parallels, like between, when Jelly Bean has the whatever. That's what I thought of. And then there's also like an older teenage girl, 20-year-old girl, who's like, shoot 'em, Gracie. What? Like immediately going for the kill. But they do not get shot because they make up a lie.
They do. And so then Archie convinces them to like not only not shoot them, but give them free food. So, he's a sweet talker. And then they have dinner. So like it's also important. This is the middle of the day. I just need everyone to know that. And the older sister, whose name is Lori, is like, do you like stew? And then they jump cut to pitch black under the stars having stew. So who knows what happened in those intervening hours. And they're like making small talk, and Archie's like, where is everyone? Should this farm have more people working on it? And Laurie says that they're all of the men are at a job downriver. And no more info is given on that. And then she's like, you guys can stay in the barn tonight if you need a place to sleep and just do some farm work in the morning. And Jughead's like, no, we should probably get going. And Archie's like, no, that's a great idea. Let's stay. So Archie's dumb. Like, I don't know what else to say.
This is one of those moments where I'm like, Riverdale, like, I love when they just like go back in time a little bit and they're like, there's no internet, there's no like, Jughead is calling Betty on a payphone and then she's like, all the men are working down the river. Like, what year is this? There's no women working. Archie definitely wants to stay because he wants to fuck Lori. Jughead says no distractions. They need to stay focused. And then they do sleep in the barn.
Jughead, when arguing against it, says something about this place weirds me out. It's too American Gothic, even for me.
That's funny.
Which was
Good
funny.
Jughead line.
It's rare that
So
Jughead
then.
has a line that makes me chuckle so much.
Right. So the next morning, Archie is moving bales of hay and
Shirtless. No
shirtless.
shirt.
Well, that goes without saying, okay? What show do you think this is? You think Archie has a shirt while doing anything physical? Oh, Evan. Oh, Jughead. This was the funniest part. It's like Jughead, Archie's like, you want to help? Jughead's like, I was gonna go in town, into town, and just leaves Archie to do all the work and just explores the town. I'm like,
No,
okay.
it's even weirder because Drughead's like, I was gonna go into town and take pictures, like we discussed. And I was like, this was not a discussion that was ever shown. Why do you want to take pictures in town? Like, I do not understand your motivation here, other than like not wanting to do farm work, which like fair, but that's not what you said.
Yeah. Jughead goes into town and everything is super abandoned and there's gargoyle symbols everywhere and it is very creepy. Jughead talks to this old woman who's just like sitting on a chair on the sidewalk and asks like, "Well, where is everyone? Like, what's going on?" And she's like, "This town used to be something and now everyone's doing fizzle." Not fizzle rocks. Everyone's doing fizzle rocks, and that's why the town has gone to shit.
She says, first it was the jingle jangle. Now we're back to fizzle rocks.
Not back. Not back to fizzle rocks. Like, she's like, this isn't even a trendy drug.
She said, it's the 30-year cycle, but for drugs. That's what we're going through, right? But yeah, Chuckhead's confused because he's like, you mean the candy that I used to have as a kid? And she's like, no, it's the same, but laced with drugs. And it showed up at the same time as the symbols. So they're connected.
Which, when Betty was recalling the story of Ascension Night to Jughead, she skipped over the fizzle rocks? Question mark.
I guess.
Feels like a necessary detail of like, and everyone was high on fizzle rocks.
Like, it's confusing to me because this is the first time we get the, like, oh, fizzle rocks are this universe's pop rocks. Because before, it's just like every time they brought up, everyone has just understood that Fizzle Rocks is a drug.
Yeah,
So
confusing.
I don't know. Anyways, then next, Lori and Archie are in the barn and she's like shaving his face for him and they're flirting real hard. And she's like, you know, you can stay a few more days if you want, just do some more work. And Archie's like, yeah, I really feel like I'm at home here. He's so weird. And then she like sits on his lap and starts making out with him. And then after like 30 seconds, Archie's like, no, I'm still hung up on a girl from home.
Hey, she fuck off because this was like max a week since you jumped Veronica.
Yeah.
After she said, "We're in the game, Archie, you're making out with someone else." Like, and that's max a week. This could be the next day. Like, based on the timeline, that's what it seems like. Because based on Betty's scenes and Veronica's scenes, it seems like it's like right after the prior episode. So. Yeah, Archie, you know, no loyalty.
No. Anyways, then Archie just starts immediately spilling everything and is like, I'm not Biff. Well, because they gave her fake names. She's like, I'm not, he's like, I'm not Biff. My name is Archie Andrews and I'm from Riverdale and I'm running away from Hiram Lodge. And he is full using full everyone's full legal name. And I'm like, this is weird. Do not give this much detail to a stranger.
And for literally what reason? Like, it doesn't even make sense to stop lying to her, but then to give so much detail of being like, and I'm running away because my ex-girlfriend's dad wants to kill me. His name is
Name is
Hiram Lodge. No, like, Hiram Lodge is famous. That's like a known person, a known rich person.
Do we not remember when people were calling him the devil incarnate 2 seasons ago for his financial crimes?
Right? Like, oh, Archie, 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 Archie.
She's so weird.
So anyway, back at Jughead, he sees this huge gargoyle like mural painting on a building, on the side of a building, and then he also sees some girls, like youngish girls, playing G&G in the back of a pickup truck. So he goes to talk to them and he's like, well, where is everyone? And all of the men, as we know, are working on a project, but they say that it is a prison. And then one of them chimes in to be like, And it's also the drug lab where they're making Fizzle Rock. Why does this 12-year-old girl have like all the insider information on Hiram Lodge's drug lab? But okay. And they're like, shit, whatever. All of them's daddies, all of their daddies work for the man in black. And
There's like,
this town belongs to him.
yeah. There's like a part where they're like, "Where are you staying?" And he's like, "I'm staying at this farm with Gracie and Lori." And they're like, "Fuck Gracie." And it was so funny to me. She thinks she's so much better than us when all of our daddies, including hers, work for the men. It's just, it was peak. Like, this one is actually what teenage girls would do in this situation.
You like fuck her. We don't like her. But one, I love that the man in black is like just an established Hiram
No.
nickname.
Okay, so I was thinking about this, especially as later in the episode, as everyone continually refers to him as this. I know Hiram is running around town, walking up to people and being like, "Call me the man in black."
Right, because how else would it start? Like, just from this, and they all know it's Hiram Lodge. Like, it's not an alias.
Yeah, Jughead immediately is like, "That is Hiram Lodge."
And they're like, yeah, like, even the children know that this is Hiram Lodge.
So it's just like in my mind, I know he's doing business and he's like on the side. He's like, "Okay, so I'm gonna give you the drugs and also call me the man in black. I'm trying to start a thing here."
I bet he's like thinking of the Gargoyle King concept and was like, oh, King, I wish they would call me King. And then he's like trying to come up with his own mob boss nickname and lands on the man in black. And he's like, okay, spread that.
Spread that one. Make it hit the streets.
If
Anyways,
this
then.
happened in, if this happened in season two, Archie would be like on the street being like, don't call him Hiram. They think
Yes.
he's the man in black. Show some respect.
He'd be on the street corner like a guy from Newsies being like, "Extra, extra, Hiram's the man in black now."
Oh my Lord.
Anyways, then Lori is bringing Archie more food and she like slides it on his plate from the pan and he's just like starts digging in and then it's so funny. She, her, he's she, he's like digging in, and next thing you know, she is behind him and just whacks him in the back of the head with the frying pan. Such like a fake bang sound.
This frying pan was like a cast iron,
He is
okay?
dead.
There is no, I mean, he's dead, but there's also no way that this like tiny girl can be swinging around a cast iron pan with that much force. Those things are heavy. Like, I have to take two hands to like get mine out from the like cabinet to put it on top of the stove. They're heavy.
Yeah,
So
no.
don't think that's realistic. Also, Tangled, it's giving Tangled.
It is.
So then Hiram comes and oh my God, the fashion slay that is the man in black, because he's not just wearing an all black suit, he's wearing an all black suit where the black jacket is totally like sparkled up like a Taylor Swift Midnight's outfit. You know that outfit on tour? That
Yes.
is That is like the design of his jacket. It is such a sleigh.
It was really good. It's a fashion moment for sure. Honestly, can I be honest here? Bold statement. I'm gonna say it from the top. The men were giving fashion more than the women in this episode, which is so rare.
They really were. I mouthed he's gay because I thought that's what you were gonna say, but
Well, I mean, also that was just implied. That didn't need to be stated out loud. We all knew.
But like he really
He
went to
wore
like
his
this
best
tiny ass
sparkly jacket to go meet Archie.
like this small hick town. He's like, what should I wear? My designer sparkly jacket. They'll love that.
That fits my new nickname that I've started to sound more cool for the 16-year-old boyfriend of my daughter.
So then Jughead arrives right in the nick of time, and Archie is absolutely tied up. These girls did go do a good job of tying up this grown man. I guess he was indeed like unconscious, but they really tied him up. Jughead takes way too long untying Archie, like while explaining what's going on at the town. Like, you don't need Archie knows he's tied up. He knows they should run. But Jughead takes his damn time
I think
untying
Jughead makes
him.
a big tactical here error here too, because he tells him that Hiram is physically there.
Yeah, so Archie's like, let's stay.
Let's stay. I can do it. At one point, Archie literally says, I can kill him.
Which I did see last episode. I went on like a tangent of being like, they should just straight up kill Hiram. And I'm glad Archie got there like 2 days after I did.
No, it was. I feel like there's not a whole lot of like explicit, like, there's a lot of euphemisms towards killing people in Riverdale, but there's very rare moments where people are like, I will murder you. Just blunt to the point. And it was really funny to me when Archie was the one who did that.
Yeah, so he's talking about how there's nowhere that he can go that they won't be followed by Hiram,
Yeah.
so they just need to kill him once and for all, which honestly, agree. Archie, strong
Fair.
agree. But Jughead gets him and is like, Veronica will never forgive you if you kill him, which I feel like that could be forgiven, but okay. Yeah,
Mean,
so then.
they should probably go to couples therapy after, but I feel like they could work past it. They're end
Yeah,
game.
honestly, they're in game. Archie, we're in game.
They're end game.
Archie, we're in game,
We're end game.
Archie. Archie.
Anyway.
Archie, Dad, we're in game. We're in game, Archie. Wait,
We
someone
could have
needs
had a
to
really
edit.
good life, Archie's dad. We're endgame. We're endgame,
Someone
Archie.
needs. Someone needs to edit that scene for Brokeback Mountain and just have him say, we're in game. What's his fucking name? Heath Ledger. What's his name?
Oh,
Enos. We're in game, Enos.
Enos. All I can think of is that the meme that's been going on Twitter recently, where it's like, kudos for spilling mama or whatever it is.
Bill. Anyway, so then the reason we get some like info on why Hiram is there, and that's of course because the girls called him, and Hiram owns them slash owns their dad and brother slash it's confusing, but somehow owns them through debt.
Yeah, he's like, if you give me Archie, your brother and father's debt will be forgiven.
Which I'm like, girl, negotiate. Because like this man is on like the most wanted list. How they can't be in that much debt. Like I'd be like, yeah, and you have to set us up in Greendale in a new apartment. Like, but they
Give
did
up the
not do that.
farm, get out of this town, whatever. Anyways. Obviously, they open the door and Archie is gone and Hiram is mad, but not so mad as to think of maybe walking out the other side of the barn, because Archie and Jughead are just running through an open field. Very visible, could easily be chased. But no.
But no, he's not gonna chase. He attracts, not chase. He saw one of those attract, not chase TikToks. So
Anyways.
anyway, then they're leaving and they're like don't know what to do because they're always gonna be outnumbered by Hiram and his cronies. So Jughead's like, we need some support. Let's go visit my mom. We're going to Toledo.
Toledo. Then second part of the episode. It's Veronica time. Veronica is packing up her things to leave the Pembroke, and Hermione walks in and is like, Mama, where are you going? And Veronica's like, I'm leaving because not only did you drive Archie out of town, but now Minetta is mysteriously missing right after I found proof that he did coercion for you. To which Hermione responds, Minetta was a corrupt man. He had many enemies. Which I love this. I love her.
That is such a stupid defense because, like, one, obviously you were the one that he pissed off most recently. Like, Veronica knows this. Two, being like, yeah, our number one guy was super corrupt, okay? He had so many enemies. Like, how is that a
He has so
defense
many.
on
It's honestly
you?
up in the air. So anyone could have killed him because he. Everyone hated that man.
And yes, we hired him, and yes, I'm the mayor of the town and made him sheriff, but guess what? He was super corrupt. I knew it the whole time.
Such a funny defense. And I was like, Hermione, I love you. Gaslight Gatekeep Girl Boss for the win.
The way you said it really sounded like her. Like,
No, that's how
you're
she
like a minute
delivers the
and a
line,
miss.
too.
Yeah. So anyway, Veronica's like, well, Hermione does say that she's not capable of murder, so
Yeah.
she didn't do it. Which, sure. And Veronica's like, well, guess what? This is what you finally drove Archie away for good. You're finally driving me away from good. I'm out of here.
Yeah. She then also like, Mom, you should leave too. And then he's like, Mija, that's my husband. I can't. And so she's like, fuck it, fine, I'm gone.
Which I'm like, girl, pick a struggle because half the time you're like, Veronica, you don't understand. You're protected because you're his daughter. And then
Yeah.
half the time you're like, but I'm his wife, so actually I'm his number one. Like,
Take a struggle. I guess maybe the argument is like she can't leave him because he will kill her. I don't know. Whereas Veronica can leave as she wants. I don't
I
know.
guess.
Veronica is also kind of in a slay moment. She's wearing a like white, black, and gold argyle like sleeveless top and a black mini skirt, and it was a fashion moment.
It really was.
Yeah. But she's leaving to
So,
go to the speakeasy where she's going to live now.
like you do. So then it's like the next morning, and Veronica is already there mopping, and Pop is like, "You got in early, huh?" So that's kind of melancholy.
Yeah.
Red then, like, I guess that afternoon, they're down in the speakeasy part of Pops, and Reggie asks Veronica what's wrong, and she claims that she is sad because the numbers just aren't adding up.
Yeah.
Like, they're not making enough money in the speakeasy or Pops to sustain them both, and Reggie thinks that they should start a side hustle.
Yes. She says, one thing I learned from my father is that steady is one bad week away from broke. We'll never turn a profit selling $5 mocktails to high schoolers who sit here all day playing some stupid board game. Which I was like, Veronica, why are we taking business advice from your father?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sure Hiram is like really balancing the books every week. Like, he is straight up a criminal. Also, I thought you were gonna point out that like she's not like yelling or anything, but there's kids playing GG like
Yeah.
right across the way from her. I'm like, maybe don't talk shit about your only customers.
No, they were the only people in there too. It was really funny.
So
Anyways.
anyway, Veronica has the grand idea to do a one night only casino and make a deal with Elio because he's the one that wanted to put like casino games in there permanently. But she only wants to do it as like a one night special event to get some slush fund going.
They negotiate and they decide that he will get 25% of the proceeds if he helps her make it a success. And that's the deal they make between them. And then she's like, please keep this deal between us. I don't want anyone else getting involved. And then who immediately walks into Pops in the next scene? Hiram. And Veronica is pissed. And he sits down at the counter and says, I'll take a cafe con leche, please. And she just pours him a cup of coffee and like passive aggressively shoves it towards him. It was kind of a sleigh.
She did eat. Hiram says that he's there because mom is worried, not him. And he says, we both know you've been struggling since Archie abandoned you. Which, like, certainly is a telling of what went down.
Yeah. He's also like, I also heard about your casino night. And that is like, you're such a hypocrite. You're inviting criminals to come play cards, yet constantly yell at me for being a criminal. Veronica says, they're not criminals. They're Elio's friends.
This girl still not get it. All of her dad's connections are criminals. Your whole family are criminals. You are only dealing with criminals.
Like, I love Veronica and she does serve in this episode, but I also think this might be one of her dumbest episodes where she's just dumb the entire time.
I just don't get it because it's like we've had this before.
Yeah.
Like,
We've done this before.
why couldn't her like getting tricked just be like the whole thing with Elio later? Like, why does she also have to be like so naive to be like, because it's not illegal to like have criminals in your establishment, right? Like, that's
Not
not a
really.
crime. So she's like not doing anything. I mean, obviously she probably doesn't have a gambling license, so like
I
that's
was like, yeah, I
illegal.
think this whole thing is illegal generally, so I don't know what her issue is. She's definitely not like allowed to do this. Anyways, and then Hiram's like, they are criminals and they will rob you.
Yeah.
And she won't. She refuses to believe him. And then he's just like, I just want you to remember that you are my daughter, and Hermione and I are your true allies, and we'll always be there for you because you're family. And she's like, okay, get the fuck out.
She says, "Get out, Daddy." Then at casino night, we have it shows Reggie, who is absolutely slaying, and one of those like big floppy-ish bow ties with the tri that are kind of triangle shaped. Also wearing plaid pants with his suit jacket and has like a white pocket square, which I
Yeah.
love a pocket square moment.
He's slaying. I wrote that down too.
So then we see Reggie points out that Elio is really winning out at one of the tables, and Veronica approaches him and is like, it's time to cash out. Yeah, obviously Elio is not gonna do that. So Veronica sits down and says that she wants to do a blackjack winner takes all, and bet bets the D to Pops.
Which I
Okay.
mean would include Le Bon Nuit too, so it's everything she owns and her home at this moment. So then they start the game and Veronica gets 19 and they're playing a back there. So Veronica gets 19 and Elio gets 20 and he's like, tough luck, girly, you lost. And she's like, maybe not, hit me. And she got two. So she gets 21 and wins. And Elio is like, that's not possible. And she's like, what? What do they say? The house always wins, right? And like, struts away. Like, honestly, she ate.
She really did. Like, to successfully not get screwed over, we immediately find out that she would have gotten screwed over if
Yes,
Hiram didn't help
immediately,
her.
it is not
But, like,
actually her sleigh.
for that 60 seconds, I was like, okay. And they made tons of money at casino night. So, like, then they're like counting the money after, and Reggie's like, how did you know how to do that? And it's revealed that Hiram had summoned Veronica earlier that day and knew of a plan of Elio's to like fleece her and basically forget so he would win a bunch of money. And so yeah, Veronica cheated right back and got hired this dealer that knows how to like mess with the cards so that when she needed just two, he was able to like flip the cards around and give her two and Pop. Then she's like telling Reggie that, but then she goes and talks to Pop, who is not too impressed.
This scene was so funny to me. So Pop is like, this is a family establishment. You don't like don't be doing the crimes here, girly. Also, maybe don't be like your dad. And Veronica's like, well, Pop, maybe he's not so bad. Which reminds me of a while ago, we were talking and we're like, Veronica and Archie are perfect for each other because they both simply believe whatever the last person told them. That is their reality.
So true, because like we have Archie wanting to literally kill Hiram in this moment that Veronica's like, he's not that bad of a
Be that
guy.
bad. He
He
helped
helped
me.
me. He helped me. That's so he's forgiven for trying to literally murder my boyfriend. What?
She's so crazy. Anyways, then Pop's like, oh, did you not hear? They found Mineta's body in the marsh, or at least they think it's his body because he was decapitated and his hands were sawed off.
My jaw was on the floor. I was like, that's a lot.
I forgot about that, and I was like, oh.
So maybe he's that bad. This Veronica scene was like 2 out of 3. The not realizing all of her associates are criminals, forgiving her father, even though he's clearly evil. The only thing we're missing is like she interacts with someone who's poor and like pretends that she's the most sympathetic person ever. That was the only bit we were missing.
We were missing sassy feminism.
Oh, true.
Bit number
I don't
4.
know. She was a little like that with Elio.
I don't know. She wasn't like, excuse my misogynistic pardon or your misogynistic pardoning everywhere in this episode.
True. True.
She does tell Reggie though that it doesn't matter how you win as long as you're the last woman left standing. So maybe that's a feminism moment.
Yeah, I feel like we got that.
So
three
yeah.
out of four.
And she calls him Reginald, which I find funny.
So last but not least, we have what Betty is up to. It's a lot. So we first see she's getting shown like the ink blots, what is it,
The Rorschach test.
Rorschach test with the ink blots, and we hear throughout this whole third of the episode, trimester of the episode, question mark. We have Evan knows enough about grammar to know that that's wrong, but I don't. Third of the episode.
Third. Let's go with third.
In the third trimester of this pregnancy, we have Betty. We like can hear Betty's internal monologue, and then also like hear what's going on outside.
Was so weird to hear Betty's internal monologue.
It's so funny. She's such a lesbian. Like, why is she so mean on the inside?
No, she's evil, and I love her.
Anyway, we hear her like internal monologue. So when she sees a picture, it's like what she's actually thinking, then what she says out loud. So like, she shows a picture and she thinks it's like the dead body that she had to bury, and then another picture and she thinks it's the Black Hood. Another picture she thinks it's the Gargoyle King, but she like gives all these cute little answers instead to like not seem crazy. Then all of the girls at the sisters are like lining up and being handed these little like medicine
Cups.
bowls, cups,
They're
but
like
there's
Dixie
fizzle
cups.
rocks. Yeah, like they're like the size of cups that you know you put ketchup in.
Yeah, they're Dixie cups. Like what they give you at like the dentist with the little water thing.
Yeah. And they have fizzle rocks in them. So all of these girls are high as shit.
They are. And Betty sees her file on the table and is like, what's going on there? Then she goes back to her room and throws the fizzle rocks in the trash. But then Ethel walks in and is like, I'm your new roommate. And Betty's like, kill me now. And so she's like, if I wasn't planning to escape already, I would kill myself. I don't remember exactly what she says, but that was the sentiment. And then
Honesty.
Ethel is like, I've been talking to the Gargoyle King in person. And Betty's like, oh my God, really? Can you introduce me to him? And she's like, no, that's Sister Woodhouse's job. And then Ethel's like, I'm so sorry about that. Things happened with Jughead, and he probably isn't into you anymore. To which Betty thinks, this psycho bitch.
Everyone's like, I'm delusional, until Ethel shows up and they're like, no, she's crazy. No, she's just a delusional girl who's manifesting. Like, she's like, no, Jughead is into me. The Gargoyle King worships me.
I have a close personal relationship with the Gargoyle King.
Sorry, she's dying. Says that she is Queen Bee around here, not you, Betty Cooper. Which I'm like, when was Betty Queen Bee? Like,
I don't know. They also, she calls like the whole gang, so like all of her friends shallow. She's like, you shallow friends don't rule the school anymore. And I was like, you know, you're kind of right. They are kind of shallow.
But they were nice to you for no
Yeah,
fucking reason. No, you have no friends, Ethel, and the popular people were being nice to you.
like they were nice to you for bad reasons, but they were still nice to you.
True. So then Ethel scolds Betty for throwing out her fizzle rocks. So she sees all. And then it's like the next day, they're doing like yard work-ish, like trimming plants and stuff outside. And Betty sees Claudius Blossom making a delivery in one of the old maple syrup trucks. And she's like, that's weird, because they don't even serve maple syrup in the cafeteria. I'm like, you've seen their whole menu. You've been here for like a day.
I know. Then she sees Hiram pull up and is even more confused and is like, why would he be here? And so she asks a random patient who it is, and she's like, oh, that's the man in black. He's an angel donor. And this is when I was like, Hiram is 100% walking around being like, by the way, you should call me the man in black. Like, that's my new name. Let's get it started.
You know it's true because these girls are literally locked away from society. Like, there's no way
Yes.
she would have heard that except from like the people that are in cahoots with them.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Hiram's going to talk to Sister Woodhouse, who's like the one that's in charge. Betty mentally says, "Bite me," which I thought was funny when she's being told to get back to work.
Yeah. Then she's running down the hall looking for like an open door to find her file, I think is what she's trying to do. And she stumbles upon a creepy door and is like, oh, this must be the entrance to the Gargoyles or King's Chamber. And she tries to go in, but then she hears a girl like screaming for her life. And she's like, oop, gotta hide. And as she does, Sister Woodhouse is dragging this girl out of the room. So then Betty, after they've like disappeared, Betty tries to go back into the room, but is stopped by Ethel, who's like, this is a restricted area. We need to go back to our room. What are you doing here, Betty? Crazy.
So then, probably the next day, Betty is back to where they were all getting their medicine and finds a paper clip. It's like holding some paper together, some files together, and goes ahead and snatches that. She's like, this could be helpful later. Then she goes and she realizes that her file's probably in like the medical facility. So she's like trying to find where that is or get there. And then Ethel starts, calls her and is like, where are you going, Betty? Why don't you play with us? And she's like, well, this could be it. This could be my way into the infirmary.
Yeah. So Betty starts to fight with her over Jughead. And Ethel is like, you're just upset because the Gargoyle King wants us to be like me and Jughead to be together, and he'll never choose you, Betty. And Betty says, oh, Ethelhead, in your dreams.
Before that, Ethel says, we're gonna be a ship.
Yes,
Which is
yes.
like not how that term is used at all. We're gonna be a ship. Oh, Ethelhead?
In your dreams. So then Ethel tries to fight her, and then Betty starts having a seizure and is like falling on the floor and convulsing. And I wrote in my notes, I was like, I genuinely can't tell if she's supposed to be faking this or not, but you know, it worked. It accomplished her goal. And then the very next scene, we find out she was faking, so good for her.
Yeah, she's an actress because it looks pretty real, but you like her internal monologue was still going, so I was like, okay, yeah, she's faking it. So then she is in the infirmary where she wanted to get, and as soon as like the people leave and they're like, let's let her rest, she hops up, breaks into the filing cabinet using the paperclip, and finds her file and starts reading it, and it says she's prescribed bolio-lapis. And that per HL increased dose after first week. So she deduces that that is the fizzle rocks or the drug in the fizzle rocks.
Yeah. And then obviously Hiram is the one telling them what to do. Then she rips the page out of her file and is like, got the proof, need to get out now. And so she goes down to the door in the basement that they used to break in to get Cheryl out of conversion therapy. She was like, Veronica told me about this door. I can go use it. But she opens the door and there's a brick wall behind it. So they've sealed up this exit. She can't get out anymore. She's stuck. And she like starts like head like clawing at the wall, which I'm like, at this point, girl, just find another exit.
Yeah, I'm like, can't you like try to leave out the front? Like, I know it'll be hard, but just like regroup.
Remember when Polly jumped out of a third story window and just ran away from this institution?
So many people have escaped this. Like, Betty, you can find a way. You're smart.
But no.
He gets caught.
Yeah. And Sister Woodhouse walks up and says, you've been a very bad girl, Betty. You haven't been taking your candy.
Not the bad girl.
I can't with this show. It's ridiculous. So they force feed her the candy. And then Sister Woodhouse takes her to see the Gargoyle King. And we don't get to see it, but there's like a weird red light. And then Betty starts screaming.
So then like the final scene is doing the same ink blot test to Betty. And this time she is honest about what she's seeing. So she's like, that's the Black Hood. And then it ends with her saying, I see the Gargoyle King. And that's what the ink blot looks like. But then it pans out to show Sister Woodhouse, and behind her, she sees the massive Gargoyle King, like, standing behind her. So, that's fucked.
Yeah. And it ends with her internal monologue saying, my king, my savior, guide me through the night. Bless me with your darkness. Gift me with your flight. End of episode. It was crazy. I can't believe they ended it like that.
They thought of that line, because Ethel says it at some point, too.
Yeah, I think so.
They thought of that in literally 10 seconds. Gift me your flight? What the fuck? Can this motherfucker fly now? Like,
I guess. I don't know. They did not put much thought into it, but they were like, let's do this creepy prayer thing.
Done. Okay, so that was the episode. That was so quick, but that was like such a fun episode, because it's like when everything's just back-to-back, you don't have to like rehash the scene.
Yeah. And the characters have different plot lines, but they're not interacting. So there's no, like, awkward scenes of them being like, well, here's what I know, and here's what I know. And we're not going to listen to each other, because that would be inconvenient for the plot.
So true. What was your outfit of the episode?
I'm going to be honest. Mine was Reggie's casino outfit.
I like that one. Obviously, I have to go with Hiram's sparkly black suit. The man in black, the titular role, if you will. What was your quote of the episode?
Okay. I think my quote was, Mineta was a corrupt man. He had many enemies.
You nailed that delivery. That's such a, like, base Hermione quote, too.
It is.
Obviously, I'm going to go with, we're going to be a ship. Oh, Ethelhead? The way Lily Reinhardt delivers that line, it's like she's personally offended by, like, the concept of Ethelhead existing.
The entire episode, she was delivering things like she was personally offended by everything happening, which she probably was when she read the script. I love the Riverdale press tours when they're all like, Lily Reinhardt, every time everyone says something hopeful, and Lily Reinhardt's like, no, that's not gonna happen.
Look, this was her Juilliard, okay?
It was. Her and Charles Melton.
Future Oscar winners right there. Praying for you, Lily. Okay, should we do for Kenzie's scale?
Should we do Lori, since it's like her only episode?
Oh, true. Let's do Lori. So we're doing Kenzie's scale, which is the heterosexuality to Homosexuality scale from 0 to 6. Character, Lori, owned by Hiram Lodge,
Lori
sister
Lake.
to
Her last name is
Gracie.
Lake.
Oh, of course it is. Lady of the Lake. Okay. Do you have your number?
Yeah.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh my God. Okay, we're different.
I love when we disagree.
I said 0 and Evan said 3.
I'd love to hear your explanation.
So my explanation is like she is okay. Everything about her is straight. The way she dresses, making out with Archie randomly, just inviting them to stay. Like, how dumb do you have to be to be like, hey, two men that could kill me, why don't you stay in my barn? Like, hello? Get them out. I know they have guns or whatever, but I was still like, what? Just because she wants to hook up with Archie that bad. And then also selling out Archie is also straight because it's like you have no solidarity. You literally hear, like, it was such a petty thing that was only, I mean, I'm sure she wanted money, but it was also because she was mad that Archie told him that, like, he had a girl back home or whatever. So it was like straight jealousy making her do evil stuff, which is as straight as it gets. That's a 0.
That's fair. That's fair. My thing was, I said 3 because she has a weird attraction to Archie Andrews, known lesbian. And
Checkmate, atheist.
she lives alone and, like, single-handedly, it seems, runs this giant ass farm in the middle of upstate New York, which, okay. And leaving that there. And she wields that frying pan like no one's business.
I have another defense from
Okay.
that statement. There's all the men have left town. They're all working on this prison. Does she have a cute girl hanging out at her house? No, she's literally just like, I guess I'll just hang out with my little sister until some hitchhikers show up.
Okay. I mean, like, fair, I guess. I'm just explaining how I got to a 3 here. So, because she does have straight energy, and I'll grant you that. But I think the Archie Andrews of it all, the frying pan situation, and the farm upstate were giving gay. And so I was conflicted. And so I went, you know what? I'm going to go with 3.
Okay, that's fair enough. To let us know.
Let us know
I
what you
know
think.
that's what you're all thinking about on a daily basis. Lori from episode 42 of Riverdale.
Yeah.
Is she
Is she, what is
gay or
her?
straight?
Where does she fall on the Kinsey scale?
What you're all thinking about.
Keeps me up at
Anything
night. I know
else?
that. I don't think so. It was a fun one. This episode was weird because it was like fast. Be I think because of the like structure of it just felt like everything moved very quickly. But it was like still a lot happened and it was crazy. Like every plot line was insane a little bit. So yeah. Also, it was like the most. What is Archie and Jughead's ship name?
Darchy.
Jarchy. Yeah. I
I
was like,
was
it's not
thinking it was this episode, but I think
Jughead.
it might be like a later episode because I was like, there really wasn't. I mean, it's gay that they ran off together, but like,
They're like,
Archie did immediately hook up with the girl.
yeah, but like, Jughead was so upset that he wanted to stay with the girl.
Oh, true. Wait. He was like, I finally got you away from Veronica.
Yeah.
George, let us know. Is this a Georgie episode?
Is this a Jarchi
Is
episode or not?
Lori straight? These are the questions.
So yeah, it was good. Also, Hiram, yet again, furthering his crush on Archie.
Are we just like the most annoying people ever, about the Hiram Archie thing? Like,
I think we are, but it's so it's so funny to me.
it is literally like the only thing I can pay attention. I mean, I pay attention to everything, but it is like when Hiram or Archie are on screen together or talking about each other, it's like my ears are perked. Like
Yeah,
I'm like,
same.
I can feel every energy in the world. Anyway,
Anyways, and it only gets worse. It only gets worse from here. Verona continues to slay while being dumb, and that's important to me too. No Alice this episode though. Alice heads.
No Alice.
We were in the trenches, per usual.
I think she's gone for a bit.
She is. I don't think she's gonna.
She's
come
at
back
the farm.
Anymore. She's at the farm.
She's at the farm. She's
wherever
farming.
That is.
Farm upstate. Okay. Remember, everyone.
It gets
It's better.
That one was so slow. You can reach out to us. Let us know what your thoughts are on the episode. We'd love to hear from you. Hear what your favorite iconic fits of the episode or your favorite quotes of the episode are. You can reach out to us at Cheryl'sBWords@gmail.com. Or you can tweet at us at Cheryl's Bitches or find us on Instagram at Cheryl's Bitches and TikTok at Cheryl's Bitches as well. So that is Cheryl'sBWords@gmail.com if you want to send us an email, and Cheryl's Bitches on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check us out, please.